When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Sorry, I was listening to Cam Newton go off on Paul Feinbaum, and apparently they've been going back and forth. Quite entertaining, I must say.
Chris would love that.
Oh, yes, he definitely would. He would enjoy that. 3 o'clock out of Dow, Tony with Junior, Matt Scraby. Little Daily Gambit coming our way. Scraby was trying to back out of doing some bets.
Yeah,
he didn't want to do any bets.
I found some.
Because he didn't want to really look to see what was out there. But now he has been forced to look to see what's out there, and we're going to do some bets. You got some good ones?
Yeah, we're going to bet on Cooper Flagg, Bronny James.
Oh, we're going to the Summer League, baby.
Yeah, when I see that Summer League is an offer to bet on, which is...
What else is out there bet? We got baseball, we got Summer League.
Wimbledon, which we did make a Wimbledon bet, but those matches aren't actually until like early tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You got the Scottish Open, you got UFC, MLS. They're saying outright winner for the Scottish Open would be Scottie Scheffler. Wouldn't that be cool to have Scottie Scheffler win the Scottish Open?
I didn't think about that. It actually would be cool. The champion of Scots.
The champion of Scots, yes. Rory McIlroy was in front of the media yesterday, and he was in a good mood.
Oh, was he mad?
No, he was in a good mood.
Okay, all right. Because, you know, he's been quite salty, it feels like, here.
Yeah, he's tired of everybody looking for him to save the PGA Tour. He's like, I tried, I'm out.
Listen, you wanted to step in TW's shoes. Here's your chance. You seem to be wilting under the TW pressure.
No one can handle the TW pressure. And for everybody who's wondering who TW is, Tiger Woods.
Not even Tiger Woods can handle that pressure at times. I can tell you that. Nonetheless, I'm glad that Chris isn't here for the mere mention of your guy. What's his name?
Rory?
Rory, yeah. Rory
McIlroy. He like legitimately hates him.
I think he feels about Rory the same way I felt about Garcia.
Garcia. Oh, Sergio Garcia.
Sergio, yeah.
Yeah, not many people like him either. Yeah. He's not a fan favorite.
No, he's not. All right, let's get to some gambling, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. The first bet we made last night was the total score from the Padres and Diamondbacks over under 8.5 runs. Tony said over, I said under, and Tony was right. There was 10 runs scored in the game, 8-2 Diamondbacks. Next bet was more K's, Dylan Cease or Brandon Fott. We both chose Cease. Cease, for giving up 6 runs, he did have 8 K's. Brandon Fott only had 4 K's, so we win that bet.
Sounds like we know what we're talking about a little bit right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right now.
So, right now is a good way of putting that. Then, as I said, the Wimbledon matches are going to be happening tomorrow morning, so we'll wait to review those. But Mackenzie Gore at the Cardinals. Over, under, 7.5 strikeouts. Both of us went over. He had 7 strikeouts. This is why gambling is cruel, as our boss Adam told me one day.
You start to feel good after you nail the first two, and then one that you feel like is a pretty sure bet goes down. And then watch what happens from here. Let's go.
But that's it for this. So we're gonna go.
We only had 3 bets yesterday.
Well, we had 5, but the tennis.
Oh, the other 2 haven't gone yet. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
All right, tonight, D-backs Padres. Over under 8.5, Tony. Total runs.
Over.
Is today the day the offense gets out of the slump?
I think it is.
I'm sorry,
well,
the run.
No, let's
run,
stop.
Run,
stop.
Run.
Even that, like, we'll just go day to day. They're out of a rut when they've done it, like, multiple days.
True.
Will they score? Will they help contribute to scoring over 8.5 runs a day?
Yes, I'll say over as well. All right, here is one. If you choose, would you bet this +165 if Fernando or Manny hit a home run tonight? Do you think either of them will hit a home run tonight? You don't, like, basically what I'm saying is, would you take this bet?
Yes.
Which one? Not that it matters for this bet.
It doesn't, so don't ask me.
All right, I'll say Manny Machado gets a home run. All right, let's go to Summer League because, you know, everybody wants to bet on Summer League.
Duh.
Cooper Flagg, over under 19.5 points, +300 for that bet. So you put down 100, you win 300 if you get it right.
Did you get away?
Ooh, I'm going to go.
Let's go. He'll go over.
He'll go over, okay. Has he played a game yet?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know if he's played a game yet.
If he's the true number one overall pick, he's going to go over. So, next one is Bronny, over under 19.5 points, +800 for this one. You're going over?
Over.
Bronny's playing better. I'm going to say under, though. I'm going to say under. Let me see if there's any other outstanding bets, because we went through that really, really fast. I just want to make sure that there's nothing I really want to talk about. Brian Wu and Marcus Stroman. Oh, Tony, did you see the name of the Yankees pitcher yesterday that made his debut? It is a landmine of a name for an announcer. His name is...
Baseball Scrabble, huh?
His name is Cam Schlittler. Schlittler. Like, that is a tough name.
Glad we played the Yankees already.
Yeah, right? All right, there's no more bets. There's no more bets. But there is. We do have this, Tony.
Oh, I've been here waiting for a lineup and didn't know it was on.
All right. We got leading off, Fernando Tatis Jr. batting second. Luis Urias playing first base. Manny Machado is DHing today. Gavin Sheets cleaning up in left field. Xander Bogaerts, shortstop, batting fifth. Jackson Merrill has moved down one more spot to the sixth position. Jose Iglesias is playing third base in the seventh spot. Jake Cronenworth in the eighth spot playing second. And then you got Martin Maldonado catching for Randy Vasquez tonight. So there you go. Another, I'm not going to say it's a big deal, but Jackson Merrill going sixth tonight. What do you think is the...
This is about where he was. I mean, it's where he started last year, I feel like.
Let me look this up.
I feel like he started six. He was there for a while. Then they moved him up to five. He stayed there. And then people were like, move him to the leadoff or move him to the second spot.
He did.
And I believe Victor Rodriguez was like, no, leave him where he's at. And he stayed there and had a terrific season.
All right. He had his most at-bats in the sixth spot. You're right. So 226. Seventh spot, he had 178 at-bats. He hit 283 in the sixth spot. He hit 303 in the seventh spot. So maybe that could get him going, Tony.
Who else sees? Yeah, so listen, I see what they're doing. I think you're trying to get him going, obviously. I think you're fine with the first five guys in the lineup. You drop Jackson down to six. That allows you also to then push Jake down even further. And so you need more production than you're getting out of the lower portion of the lineup. And allow, you know, at least tonight with the lefty on the mound, my guess is that it would be maybe crawling up one more spot if it was a righty, hitting seventh. But you get him down in that bottom third to kind of give you a little bit more punch down there. And you also give Jackson out of a spot in the lineup where it feels like there's more pressure for you to get stuff done. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Being an out right now in the 4 spot, 2 spot, 5 spot are probably, you know, too high to have someone working out some things that they're, you know, trying to work out.
I like them moving down Jake a little bit. He's been hitting 286 in the last 7 games, a home run, 4 RBIs, 4 walks. He's been making better contact, so hopefully that can help out the back end of the lineup. But one of the things that happened last night in the game was Mike Schilt pinch hit for Martin Maldonado in the 5th inning. So I know that that's because he wanted to have a quality at bat there, and there was an opportunity for them to score some runs. But if you're pinch hitting for your catcher in the 5th inning, is that something that they need to look into, like the Sean Murphy or something? Is that something you think that they're interested in?
I mean, that's already been the case.
Okay.
You know?
I'm just making sure.
That's they pinch hit there. They might thought that might have been their own best shot to do something, so you take a shot. Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, you're not pinch hitting there. If you have Sean Murphy there, you're not pinch hitting there in that particular spot. So, yeah, I think that's already been established, though. So, all right, let's get to break. When we return, where do you want to go, Scrape?
Oh, I am going to tell you why Dave Roberts has lost some of his fans up in L.A. because of fibs that he tells.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? Yeah.
this is such a weird thing for me, and I know we got to go to break.
No, keep going.
In today's game, GMs, teams are so scared about giving an advantage or letting some information out that it forces their managers to have to do this song and dance where occasionally their wordplay gets them in trouble and turns them into a liar. And it's only because they don't want to get in trouble from their bosses that they might say the wrong thing. And so this is, I don't even know what you're going to go to yet or what Dave did, but I just laugh every time a manager finds himself in these spots because it's just like, it's so, a lot of times it's unnecessary. You're not really giving up all that much, but who, you know.
Yeah, I wonder if he was scared that the ball was going to be thrown at him in the dugout or something like that. And that's why he said what he said. And Tony just rolled his eyes into the back of his head.
I'm going to break. Okay. Scraby will have you guys when I come back. I will return a little later. Enjoy, Mr. Scraby. We're going to Chris on the other side.
All right, back here in the LSC Palace, 97.3 The Fan, Matt Scraby with you. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be back at like 3:40 for the Big Five. Here's a little schedule update for everyone in the next couple hours. We are going to have the roundtable replay from 4 to 5 today. And then I will have a short Scraby show from 5 to 5:35 today. So we have you covered all the way up until Sammy Love takes over at 5:40 p.m. for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show. Right here on 97.3 The Fan. In the Big Five, we have a few topics that I think are very fun. Maybe not fun for one of them. Reynolds has a huge announcement, and something came out today, and they got me. If I am going to eat breakfast somewhere, I'm going to try this new item from McDonald's for breakfast. So we'll tell you about that in the Big Five also. I asked this question to Tony. Which is the bigger issue, Dylan Cease having a 4.88 ERA or the Padres offense averaging fewer than 3.5 runs per game since May 16th? So that's what we get into during the Big Five. Thank you to Jessica Charman for joining us earlier in the show. Play-by-play announcer for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. If you want to listen to that, you can go back to the podcast or you could go back to YouTube. Just go to 2:40 p.m. in YouTube. You can see the clock over my shoulder. That's how people usually do the, mark their time. So you can go and listen to her. She talks at SDFC, talks about different grass lengths. We asked her every single thing, and she was great. So appreciate that. A couple things. Let me get this Dave Roberts thing out of the way first, because Dave Roberts I used to not really care that much about him. I wasn't, like, angry with him. I wasn't upset with him a couple years ago. But ever since last year in the playoffs, like, even before then, I kind of soured on him with some of the things that he was doing and saying. But I have he's completely lost me. And I can't, I can't look at him the same way after the Manny Machado issue that he caused because he wanted to pump up his team. But I've been seeing a lot of these articles lately, and Tony, before we went to break, is right that teams do catch themselves in this sometimes, but I don't think I've seen a team catch themselves in something like this. I can't think of the Padres having something like this happen. But fans are starting to get a little annoyed with Dave Roberts lying to them. And here's what the latest lie, I guess, is being told by Dave Roberts. Tyler Glasnow returned to the Dodgers yesterday, but they were asking him yesterday about different players who were injured. And Michael Kopech is injured, and he just got off the 60-day IL. But reporters asked him, if his knee issue will be anything long-term, how serious is it? And Dave Roberts said, quote, I don't think it will be a long-term situation. The very next day, Michael Kopech was placed on the 60-day injured list once again. So, I get that he has to protect some secrets. I don't think Michael Kopech is the biggest secret in the world that you need to protect. But, I mean, when you're getting, like... I think that we would be a little annoyed if Mike Schilt was like, hey, Brian Hoeing, knock on wood, Brian Hoeing is going to be just fine. And then the next day, it's 60-day IL. I do think the Padres, they tell us to take it day by day. They say that, you know, things are feeling good, and then it ends up players going on the IL for extended periods of time. I don't really consider that lying because they honestly, in that moment, I don't think the Padres know. Like when Mike Schilt is being asked the question about Jackson Merrill and his hamstring earlier in the year, he said, he's feeling good. We hope to have him back by the end of the week. Well, you never know what could happen between Mike Schilt saying that and the next day, and Jackson Merrill had a hamstring injury that got worse. And so I don't consider that to be lying, but I'm pretty sure Dave Roberts had to have known that Michael Kopech was going to go on the 60-day injured list. And so, again, managers and teams do this all the time, but it seems like it's happening a lot in L.A. And my algorithm on my phone is, like, picking up on the Dodgers stories that people are like angry about with Dave Roberts. So that's how I see all these things. So that's why maybe I'm really aware of all of these things. But that is the news, that Michael Kopech going on the 60-day injured list the day after Dave Roberts said, I don't think it will be a long-term situation. Michael Kopech was really good in the playoffs last year, but he has had a year to forget this year with injury and all of that other stuff. Also, I wanted to mention that we were talking earlier about Sean Murphy of the Braves. Jim Bowden said that he thinks the Padres could be in on Sean Murphy, the catcher of the Braves. They have Drake Baldwin in Atlanta right now. And Sean Murphy's making a good amount of money. He's making $15 million a year. And so some are surmising that they can afford to get rid of one of their catchers, and one of those catchers will be Sean Murphy. He has another 4 years on his deal. He is getting paid quite a bit of money, $15 million each year. And so I could see why the Braves would want to get out of that, but I could also see why the Padres wouldn't want to get in on that. And I think that if they're able to move some salary back to the Braves, and the Braves are a team that would send Sean Murphy to San Diego, I don't see this being a bad thing. We're going to get into the catching situation at 5 o'clock because I went through some of the numbers, and I was reading Kevin Acey's newsletter this morning, and so I was trying to, you know, figure out what is going on. Because once, you know, it's becoming more of a thing where Mike Schilt doesn't even trust the catchers to take their last at bat before he makes a defensive switch. Last night, fifth inning, they pinch hit for Martin Maldonado. And he doesn't have, I can't say he doesn't have faith, because I know that Mike Schilt backs all of his players, but he would much rather use a Trenton Brooks or a Jose Iglesias in that spot, because I think that they feel like if that catcher goes up to hit, it's a lost spot anyway. So why not pinch hit? And then you have Diaz coming in to play defensively. But you gotta think, how long is that going to last? How long can Diaz catch every single night? Even if it's not for nine innings, it could be for a shorter time. But it seems like this is an unsustainable course they're going with the catchers right now. And earlier, so we were talking about that earlier, Jim Bowden. And then Robert Murray of FanSided, he's an MLB writer, here is his tweet. Sources: with contenders searching for starting pitching, one name to cross off the list, Braves ace Chris Sale. Atlanta has not discussed Sale and will not consider moving the left-hander or any player under control beyond 2025, per sources. So we're getting two different sides of the story from two national reporters, and I tend to believe that Jim Bowden is a little bit more connected than Robert Murray, just because Jim Bowden was a former GM. He's been in the media game for a long time, so he knows a lot of these guys. He talks to a lot of these guys. I'm not saying that Robert Murray isn't connected, but I would think if we're going on who knows the most, who knows the person that's highest at the top, it's probably Jim Bowden. And I'm saying this without knowing it at all, but Robert Murray was not he's not a former GM. He wasn't a part of baseball. He's not on the MLB Network or anything like that. So, again, not saying that Robert Murray is wrong. I'm just saying I kind of tend to believe Jim Bowden because what he said made sense. You trade Sean Murphy, you get rid of his salary, and then you have Drake Baldwin. So I guess if the Padres are trying to not go over the luxury tax, why would the Braves take on a Padres player's salary when they're trying to jettison the $15 million a year that Sean Murphy is going to be making until 2029, which is a club option, then he's a free agent in 2030. This also makes sense for me for another reason. Ethan Salas is supposedly going to be ready maybe in 2 years, 3 years. So if you bring someone in like Sean Murphy, and he contributes, and he is able to hold things together, Ethan Salas does not need to come up too early. They can take their time with him, and then once he is ready, probably at the end of that contract, you have your starting catcher. Again, Ethan Salas is really young. I think he's 19 or 20. I always forget, because there's so many young guys. I know DeVries is now 19, but they don't need to force him in to the major or onto the major league team if they don't have to. And if they were to trade for Sean Murphy, then I think that would be a pretty good plan for the Padres and for their catching position. But again, we're going to go through the catching position at 5 p.m. because there's a lot of things that I'm going to have to backtrack on, because I've been sitting here all year long saying this was the deal when we got into the year. They knew that they were going to have catchers that weren't going to hit for a lot of anything. But we're getting to a point in the season where 90 games in, and they're not getting any production from their catchers on a regular basis. And now they're basically splitting the duties, and they're pinch hitting for the catcher in the fifth inning. So I think that's pretty telling of how the feelings of the Padres about their catching position. And I've also heard Mike Schilt in the last couple weeks kind of sort of say, yeah, we'll be looking at upgrading our catcher position. Mike Schilt is always going to have the catcher's back. And so he doesn't want to say something like, yeah, we're going to go and look for a catcher and then not get one. But I do think that AJ Preller is at least going to call the Braves and see if Sean Murphy's available. And if Robert Murray's report is right, that any player under control past 2025 is off limits, then AJ Preller is going to get a swift no. But I have to think that the Braves are going to listen to offers. And I have to think that when they put that disclaimer out there, anybody who's under control After 2025, we're not going to trade them. I don't necessarily believe that because every player has a price. Every player does have a price. And AJ Preller, he'll make it work somehow. I promise. Well, I shouldn't promise, actually. He'll make it work, I feel, because he has in the past. And I know the AJ Preller haters are coming out in full force these days, which is fine because they feel like he came into this year with an incomplete team. To me, I say AJ Preller came into this year with his hands tied behind his back because the ownership situation, budgets, things like that. I don't know that AJ Preller had a lot of wiggle room to make moves and sign guys, but he did sign Nick Pivetta. He did sign Gavin Sheets, and those two guys are huge for the team. So you got to give him credit there. All right, I'm Matt Scraby. This is Gwen and Chris. Gwen coming back here shortly. Chris on vacation, back on Monday. When we get back, the big five and our question about which is worse. Cease having a 4.88 ERA or the Padres offense averaging fewer than 3.5 runs per game since May 16th? We'll answer that when we get back on 97.3 The Fan. We're going to have the big five right now, and then we will have a roundtable replay from 4 to 5, and then I will be on from 5 until 5:35, leading you up to the fourth and final game between the Diamondbacks and the Padres here right here on 97.3 The Fan. Sammy Lev starts at 5:40 with the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show. So we have the big five. It's ready to go. So is traffic. Let's get right into it.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. Visit Spiro.com. Now, last night did not go the way everybody wanted it to go for the Padres or Dylan Cease. And Kevin Acey had a pretty, accurate question. So I'm just going to ask the Kevin Acey newsletter question. And Tony, you're up first. Which is the bigger issue for the Padres? Dylan Cease having a 4.88 ERA or the Padres offense averaging fewer than 3.5 runs per game since May 16th?
I don't think that you can put it on one or the other. I think both of them are big problems. Because if Dylan Cease was pitching like his normal self, the Padres may very well have a few more wins. I would say more than a few more wins.
He's 3-9.
But they would also have a few more wins if they had scored, you know, one run more, 1.5 runs more. So I think it's both. Both are actually, there isn't a which one. Mm. I think both are the issue, are part of the issue.
I did not see you going there, but it makes sense to me. Dylan Cease is only 1 of 5, though. So if I'm going to pick one over the other, it's got to be the Padres offense averaging fewer than 3.5 runs per game since May 16th, because that's just a longer period of time. Dylan Cease, like, is not going every day, but like you said, it's bad for both sides. I mean, you don't want one of your main rotation guys having a 4.88 ERA, and it's just... I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird. I want Dylan Cease to succeed. I think he's a good dude. It just has been a struggle for him this year for whatever reason. And same with the Padres offense. So Tony Gwynn Jr., put it in perspective for everybody out there.
Number four.
Colorado coach Deion Sanders said he'd like to see College Football Institute's salary cap. Lots of salary cap talk today. He said at Big 12 Media Day, "This stuff has gone crazy. Nobody knows where it's going to land, where it's going to end." And on July 1st, this is not him anymore. On July 1st, the House settlement allowed schools to share up to $20.5 million in revenue in year one with athletes across sports on campus. Some third-party collectives representing schools, however, have signed athletes to contracts before the settlement using money from collective that does not count toward the revenue-sharing total. Dion also took aim at tampering with rosters because some collectives will lure players into the portal with promises of paydays larger than what they're currently earning. Coach Prime went on to say, quote, "I would see a player and see he got an offer from another school, and I'm trying to figure it out. How is that possible when the guy isn't in the portal? How is that? You've got a $5 million offer. How? And the kid isn't in the portal. We need to be upright and upstanding," end quote. I'm up first. Do we need a salary cap in college sports? Seems like we're going to need some sort of salary cap in college sports because things are getting crazy. And if they're doing the whole collective thing and then not having that money go towards the $20.5 million house settlement, then yeah, they're cheating the system. And so they have to put some things into place so that this doesn't happen. And so they can make a fair playing field for everyone. And I'm actually surprised that Coach Prime is saying this because he doesn't seem to have any issue recruiting guys. So I actually will stand up and clap for Prime for saying this because I think people will listen once he brings this up. Tony, what do you think? Do you think they need a salary cap?
He didn't just start. He's been saying this for a very, very long time.
I did read it. He said something in spring, too.
Yeah, this is something that he has been on. I think he's right. I don't know if it's the salary, if that's the name of it, a salary cap, but some type of limiting. And by the way, the collectives aren't cheating. I mean, they're allowed to do that based on the environment, but there does need to be some rules put in place. And it doesn't need to restrict the students from making as much as they possibly can make. But there does need to be some guardrails, if you will, to kind of keep this thing in a certain, so that it's not the wild, wild west like it seems. Like, you shouldn't be able to offer a kid who isn't in the portal yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not in the portal, you shouldn't be able to...
Yeah, it's tampering.
Yeah, it should be tampering, period.
College sports is getting so complicated that it's really becoming hard to even follow the sport itself. Like, it's cool to watch the games, and I like the games and all that, but, like, everything outside of it is just so complicated that I stopped listening.
Number three.
There was a report yesterday from Don Van Natta Jr. and Kalen Collar of ESPN.com, and it had a lot of stuff regarding the collusion ruling that the NFL and the NFLPA hid from everyone for more than 5 months. Here's one from the first sentence of the article's final paragraph. Quote, "On Wednesday, a source familiar with the league office said the NFL notified the union of its intention to seek legal fees and costs in excess of $12 million. End quote. That's a direct byproduct of the NFLPA's decision to unpause the post-ruling litigation process by exercising its right to appeal the decision. As one source with knowledge of the situation, the NFL previously offered to forego seeking reimbursement of attorney's fees and costs in exchange for the PA waiving its appeal rights. That's not an uncommon move or anything like that at the tail end of a failed legal
thing. What is going on?
I know. Let me explain this. So basically, the NFL went to the NFLPA and said, "You're going to lose this. If you don't appeal, we won't go after you for the legal fees that we're losing right now. But if you do want to appeal and you don't drop this whole thing, then we're going to go after the legal fees and make you pay for them since we won the case and you lost." So, Tony, should the NFL continue seeking the money, or should they just let it go?
Is it the NFL or the NFLPA?
It's the NFL is going to go and seek $12 million in legal fees from the PA. Because the PA, for the case, for the trial, not the trial, but for the decision that was made by the arbiter, and he said that the NFL was not colluding, even though there's evidence of collusion. It's very, this is very complicated as well, basically what I wanted to ask is, should the NFL just not be greedy and just forget about this $12 million?
Of course they should, but that isn't the way of these two entities, right? I mean, if anytime you can pierce, you know, gouge whatever the other side as it pertains to the NFL and the Players Association, they're going to do it. Same thing is going to go in baseball. Same thing is going to go in the NHL. Maybe the only place it doesn't happen is in the NBA. They seem to be in harmony most of the time. But in the perfect world, the NFL would be like, all right, we won, cool, let's just move on. It's good business. Instead, they want to stick it to them. We're going to get our $12 million back. Not only did we beat you, you're going to pay for our lawyer fees that beat you.
Oh, it annoys me so much that they want to do this. Because they weren't found to be guilty of collusion.
They were definitely guilty.
But the ruling said that there was evidence of collusion. There was just no smoking gun to actually say that there 100% was collusion. It's very, 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 like... it's very dictator of them to be like, you know what? We were colluding. You lost. I still want my money from you. It just makes me mad. I hate when money becomes the root of everything. And that's what is happening every single day now. More and more people are making money the root of everything. That was my PSA for today.
Number two.
Trinity Rodman is the girlfriend of Ben Shelton, who was playing at Wimbledon, and had some words for the TV announcers because they kept showing her on TV, and she posted on Instagram, quote, "For those who don't know, my name is Trinity, not Tiffany," which is what they were calling her on
Tiffany
the broadcast.
Rodman? Oh, man.
She then went on to request that the Wimbledon announcers stop bringing up her estranged dad, NBA legend Dennis Rodman. She said, quote, "Also for Ben's matches, he has his family there as his support system, which includes his dad. My dad's not even in my life. No need to bring him up during his matches when I don't even want him talked about during mine. It's his and his loved one's moment. Thank you." End quote. excuse me. I'm up first.
Did you go first the last time?
No, you did.
Okay,
you can go first if you want.
No, go ahead.
The question is, should she be upset about this? Yes. The Trinity Tiffany thing, that's pretty embarrassing. That is ridiculous. But the Dennis Rodman thing, he is your dad. He is a pro athlete. People know his name. You're going to make that connection. Now, if you're going the whole match and like talking about her and him and you don't know their relationship, then I think that's weird. But if they show her and they're like, "Oh, there's a Tiffany Rodman, Dennis Rodman's daughter," I don't know how you could stop that. And it's not taking away from Ben Shelton. I can understand why she does think it's taking away from him, but it's part of being Dennis Rodman's daughter, I would believe, and being a professional athlete as Dennis Rodman's daughter. Blah, that was hard for me to say. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, no, I feel her. I feel her in her frustration with that, you know, always being the case. You know, every time she's on TV, typically, with the exception of her soccer matches, because I think she's got a little bit more say in how she's covered in her own sport. I don't know that she has that kind of, you know, pull or really right in this particular case, right? I think she's well within her right to correct them from calling her Tiffany. Her name is clearly Trinity.
That's fine.
That was a big miss. So yeah, for sure. But you know, she's kind of a guest, so to speak, in the tennis world right now as she's dating Ben. And I just think that it's although she has the right to give her opinion on it and give her take. I mean, this NBC and whoever's covering. Now, granted, I didn't hear how they covered it. I didn't hear that, you know, how long they might have dragged it out. You know, a mention is likely going to happen.
Yes.
In every situation except for her playing on the soccer pitch.
Yeah, I was.
Every
trying
other
to
situation.
Find, yeah.
Every other situation is most likely going to come up, and that's also a testament to her. If she wasn't who she was, we wouldn't have connected the dots of whose daughter she is as she's dating, you know.
Ben Shelton
right now. So, I feel her, but it's not a whole lot that she's going to be able to do about it.
No.
Number one.
All right, the fun question. McDonald's has a big announcement, Tony, and they are going to be offering three new spicy McMuffin varieties starting on July 10th.
Spicy McMuffins?
Yeah, starting actually, it was 2 days ago it started, but they have joined the menu. Today, actually, oh, I'm going to McDonald's after this show. Fan favorite snack wraps are rejoining the menu. They're spicy and ranch are the two flavors for the snack
wraps.
Wait,
so the spicy McMuffin, is that like an egg?
Let me tell you. The egg McMuffin, spicy egg McMuffin, egg, cheese, Canadian bacon, English muffin with spicy sauce, sausage McMuffin, sausage, cheese, and pepper sauce, and sausage McMuffin with egg, sausage, cheese, and pepper sauce. So, my question, because I do love the snack wraps, but here's the question, Tony. Where does McDonald's breakfast rank on your list of fast food breakfast spots?
Okay, before we move forward, I need you to clarify. So, the new spicy McMuffin.
Yes.
Doesn't have chicken. It's just sausage and or Canadian bacon with some spicy
sauce
on it.
It's basically the sandwiches as is plus some spicy sauce on it.
Oh, I thought McDonald's had really taken a step forward there. I really did.
You want a chicken sandwich for breakfast?
Well, you know how Chick-fil-A has the egg sandwiches with the chicken, right?
They do.
Man. If that would have been a strong play for McDonald's had they gone that route. But they did. They went lazy. They went the they went the spicy sauce way, which fine. I get it. I don't know that that's going to move the needle for me. I personally, in terms of this particular sandwich. Now the question is, what do I rank their breakfast?
Yeah,
it's elite. McDonald's breakfast is elite. I'm sorry. If we're talking in the fast food genre, there ain't that. I don't know that there's a better one.
I can't go to Burger King for breakfast. Sorry.
Hell no.
Sorry, King out there.
Absolutely not.
I mean, Jack in the Box has decent breakfast. But...
Jack in the Box is up there. Jack in the Box is up there. But, I mean, listen, the hash brown that McDonald's created, elite.
It's heaven.
It's elite.
Heaven in a hash brown.
then they got with me back in the days where... You know, we didn't really care what we were putting in our bodies. When they came out with the McGriddle, pancake.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Just a piece of bread soaked in syrup.
Come on, dog. Like, you can't get any more downright dirty with that. Oh, my gosh. That is, McDonald's is at the top of the food chain there.
I agree. I don't know why. I'm a sucker for
Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has closed the chicken sandwich itself has closed the gap in a big way.
I need to try this Chick-fil-A breakfast. Never had it.
Yeah, man.
Wendy's is also decent, but
Wendy's has stepped their game up. But they're inconsistent.
Late.
Yeah, they're inconsistent, and they didn't have breakfast forever. That was a recent move.
Yeah, that was a recent move. If you're curious, the snack wrap only has 320 calories. So that's
I'm
nice. But all right, cool. I am glad you enjoy McDonald's breakfast as much as me because I felt like a fatty when I was like reading this.
No,
article.
When I was at San Diego State, I think I lived on McDonald's breakfast every day. It probably wasn't every day, but every morning I was already up from weights or whatever it was. Get that McDonald's breakfast, dog.
Yeah, I dated
little egg McMuffin or sausage with egg. Split the hash brown in half, throw the other half onto the sandwich. You got yourself a hearty breakfast.
I'm hungry now. I am hungry now. I dated a girl who used to order the egg McMuffin and then say no egg. And I'm like,
what are we doing?
How?
Don't do that.
How? You're ordering a McMuffin now. Yeah. You're not ordering the egg McMuffin. You just want cheese and Canadian bacon.
I'm old enough now to remember where that used to be like a top mistake. That would happen when you go to McDonald's. You order, you almost had to say with egg at times because I would come home and just have some sausage in that bread, dude, and be furious.
Just so dry. It's like you need the egg in there for some sort of moistness.
Hey, you know what I'm going to find, and you see it on like the OG McDonald's commercial. When they crack the egg in the little circle thing. So
they do have those.
I'm going to get me a couple of those.
Me too. I'm going to try to make a spicy egg McMuffin. That sounds delicious right about now. All right. That is it for the Big Five. And that will do it for the main Gwyn and Chris show. Next up, we have the Roundtable from this morning. And then at 5 o'clock, I'll take back over, fill you in on the latest news of the day. So stick around. Go nowhere. The Roundtable is up next.